Okay. What we're gonna start out with is putting the page that you made, or a page, up onto the server. So look for the information that was sent to you for uploading to the server. It's a Linux password, an ID and a Linux password, and it was sent to you within the last week, I would say. Maybe 2 weeks. So look for that. If you can't find it, Lindsay has a list, so she can give you the information, hopefully.
Does that list have both classes on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't be on there. Has everybody found it? Is somebody having trouble, or?
I get the password on the username.
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah.
That what I need?
Yep.
Yep.
Good. It'll be the Linux password you'll use.
If you can't find it, as I said, Lindsay has it, so call her over. Okay. So now, once you've got that, we're gonna go into software. Okay, so software should be here. Remember, you were supposed to log in to K112, or K.
Yeah, I've got stuff here. Okay.
And so you should have software. Okay, so we're looking for software. And then when software comes up, we are looking for WinSCP. Okay, WinSCP is something that allows you to load things up to the server. Okay, so if you want to do this at home, WinSCP is something that is very a good software. It's free, and you can set it up at home so that you can upload to the server from home. But you'll see the address and how WinSCP is used as we're going along. So you're going to click on WinSCP. And this is what comes up, okay? It's CISWeb, the host's name is CISWeb.bristolcc.edu. And the port is 220. Okay, it used to be 22, but they were having problems with hackers, and so it's now 220. Okay? So that probably is filled in with you on your thing, okay? We used to have to actually write that. Then if you click on edit, it comes up, okay. I don't really want that. Save, I guess you hit edit and save, okay. And then login. I guess you can just hit login. I don't know the, can you just hit login?
Yeah, I just hit login.
Okay. I was, for some reason, used to edit and log in. Now you're going to type in your username. Okay, so my username doesn't have numbers. Yours does. Okay, so you type in your username there. And then you say OK. And you type in your password at the next prompt. So you say OK. Whoops. Okay. Forgot that you get a notice, just say continue. And then type in your password here. Okay. So you're typing in your username and your password, and that should get you to something that has the words public HTML over here. Okay, mine has, mine has a load of stuff. Yours is not going to. So just look for the thing saying public HTML. So type in your username and password, and hopefully you will get something that shows public HTML on this side. We're going in through WinSCP and trying to get people logged in. Yes, sir? WinSCP. And then those are okay. So you can just hit log in. And now it's asking you for that username and password.
Just
that
you have
there.
Just put the login at the bottom. So yeah, hit login. Next,
close.
Oh.
Continue. So you take your username there. Then the next thing that will come up will be a notice, and then it will ask for a password.
In the one it's super famous.
I mean,
no password?
Yeah.
Oh, this
the Linux password.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Not the password that you log in with when you sit down, but this is the Linux password to get in the CIS web. Okay, are you in? Is everybody in?
Huh? It's almost there. Preparing windows.
You're good right now. She's gonna get to that, but yeah.
Yeah. I started writing it down. She's doing it. I know what to do. As soon as it turns on, I know what to do.
Yes. No. This is a hurry up and wait day.
Oh yeah.
Sorry about that, but it just is. Well, we try to make sure everybody can get in.
That's just very
case. Okay, so what I've got over here is public HTML. This is the server over here. Okay, so this is the CIS web server. This is yours over here. So over in yours right now, it is set for my F drive and is looking at my F drive. But what you ought to do is over here locally, start looking for a page, an HTML page that you've written. So start looking for an HTML page that you have.
But if you look through your emails, probably your BCC email, you'll find this login information again. It'll be from CIS Web. So if you want to find that and try it again, go ahead. But if not, just follow along. In the public HTML, this is the server, and this is local. So this is what's on the computer, this is the local server. Can I send this side's the server, and this side is on Slack. So it's my documents, and that side's the server side. You're probably that you're in a good spot right now.
Yeah. And then this says like permission.
Yep, that makes sense, because since it's a server, pretty much you only drag and drop stuff from the server. You don't give your own. Nope, you're good.
220.
Yeah, 22.
Okay, is everybody this far?
Nope.
Okay. Where are you?
I was trying to check the password. City Swan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find my password as well.
The one that you had given me kept saying access denied.
Yeah.
Me too.
Did you
find it all right? No, I'm
trying to find my email. Okay. So if you don't have the right password, what you basically got to do is give me a note at the end of class so I can take it to ID if there's a problem with your password working.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's, did you check your email for,
That's in the room. That's in the room.
Yeah, what date is the, somebody who found the email, what day was it sent?
Mine got my
August 30th.
August 30th?
August
30th.
Yeah.
31st? So look for August 31st. That's apparently when they sent them out.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you might just want to write a note for if you can't get in. You can try logging in again.
It's very case sensitive, so be careful about case sensitive and all that good stuff when you're doing it. Okay, once you're here, you're going to click on public HTML. Because you want to be inside public HTML. So you're clicking on public HTML. All you probably have inside public HTML is something that says index.html. I have a gazillion things, okay? Because I use it a lot. Now, to get something over here, you take and drag it. So I've got first HTML is something I have on my E drive. And I'm going to drag that over to the server. So I have something on my E drive and I'm dragging it over and dropping it on the server. And now it will be out there. So find something that you have and drag it over, an HTML that you have, you can't get instant. An HTML that you have, and try dragging it over to the server. Okay, so I dragged over first, whatever it was called, first HTML.html. So there it is. So I dragged it over, and there it is. So HTML, if you don't, you can always download something of mine or you can write a quick little HTML that says hello world.
Yeah.
And drag that over.
Stuff, right?
But you want to drag something over, hopefully.
Did you make any of this in this file? Okay, so let's go back.
Okay, so there is the first HTML that I dragged over. Now, you also can put things inside a directory or folder if you want to. You can go over here and look at the menu where you see files. You can say files, new, directory. And you could make a directory if you wanted to. Files, new, directory, and you can make a directory if you want to. And just a minute while I go save that. Okay. So for example, I made a directory that I called AAACIS120SAP. So that's a directory. And if I look in that directory, I am going to see that same file that I just dragged over and put someplace else. So it's out there twice now. But I've got that first HTML.html, and now it's sitting in a directory. Okay? But I have something up there. so I have something in a directory if that's what you want, or I have it on the root. Either one works. Okay. Are you okay now? Or? Okay, you've got something up there?
Yes.
Okay, so take something HTML and put it up there. Okay? If you want to, you can always take one of mine, do a view of the source, copy it into Notepad, paste it, save it with a .html and put it up that way. Okay, but try to get something up there. Okay, so now what we have is something that is sitting up there, and now we want to be able to change it, for example. If I right-click on it and click on Edit, okay, right-click, whoops. If I right-click and look at Edit, and let me go and paste that too. Then the code comes up. Okay, so if I right click it and click on Edit, the code comes up. And I can make changes to the code. So I can make changes to the code as it's out on the server. My one suggestion, warning, whatever is if you make changes to the server, download them so that what you have on your hard drive or your flash drive matches with what's on the server, or you'll go nuts. Yeah.
Like, I just opened up the HTML, it's just 20.
Say that again?
Yeah, I'm just going to enter a page and copy and everything, just like I do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no, I was like
stressed. Just put HTML. You put in the tag that says HTML.
Is it because did you zip it? Yeah, it's because it's zipped, so it has to be unzipped.
Yeah, I grabbed it and zipped it.
And then you can put in the
other
tag that says body or something.
Oh,
it doesn't let you edit it at all.
Underneath it, like a little word.
Where over here is it? It's like
body and HTML.
Where is the photo that you dragged
on
the
internet?
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, it's over here. You can click it and try dragging it from this location. It'll overwrite that. It's all the same stuff, right?
Right. And then.
Oh, whoops.
Okay, so now that should be now saved. So now click on the save.
It'll be fine because you have it in two locations
now.
Your original's fine. Just drag it over. Already contained. So it's just overwriting it.
Yeah,
so I'm going to do
anything. Hold it down and open it again. You should see it.
Okay. Actually, it's a folder, so it wouldn't. You got to click into that folder and edit things within that folder. You can't
okay.
Get itself,
so
right?
Now you've got something up there. Now the world's got to be able to see it. Okay? So to make the world see it, I'm going to go over to my browser and I'm going to bring up the browser. And I'm going to type the address up here for the world to be able to access my web. So the first thing I have to put is the host, which is cisweb.bristolcc.edu, which was automatically there for you. And actually, if I'd known it was automatically there, I would have told them not to, because I would like you to get the habit of having to use it. But that's the host. Okay, so it's cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Then you put a slash, and then you put a tilde. The tilde is right under the escape, and it has to be a shift and that symbol. And you make the tilde.
Okay.
Matilda's write the key right under the escape. And then after you put the tilde in, you put in your username. Okay, and my username has numbers in it, yours does. Or your username, rather, has numbers and mine doesn't. So put in your username. And then if you have a folder, and I'm going to look at the one that has a folder, you put in the folder name. So put in the folder if you used a folder. If you didn't use a folder, then you don't do this. And then you put a slash and you put the name of the page. Okay? So then you put a slash and the name of the page. And then you hit enter, and the page comes up. If you don't have a folder, then you just skip putting the folder in there. You just have pgrocer/, and then the name of the file. But if you decide to use a folder, you put /folder/name of the file. So at that point, in your browser, you should now be seeing your page. And again, it's the host, which is cisweb.bristolcc.edu, /tilde, your name, your username, /folder if you have one, /file for the .html extension. And your page should be coming up. Is everybody getting it? Are you seeing your page?
You've made or anything on the computer or on your end drive?
No.
Okay, so
I do have
I just copied
yeah. But if you want to just to make sure you can get something up on the server, I would go copy and paste one of her programs, the HTML ones, save it in Notepad in a place you know you can find it.
Okay.
For the .html and then drag and drop it over in there.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, so
just the only thing is if you want them to sync up, you gotta drag and drop back and forth. So if you change them, one thing on the server side, you'll still have the reverse on the computer.
Okay?
Okay.
If you remember when you read on the side of a truck an HTML a web address, or you see a web address you want to end in, enter, there's never embedded spaces in the names. Okay, so the things that you create in HTML that you want to put up on the web, the name should not have an embedded space in it. If your name of the thing you're creating now has an embedded space, get rid of it. Just wipe out the embedded space and put the things together. Because embedded spaces just cause headaches. They end up being up there with a percent sign 20 and make up for the space, and basically they're a pain in the neck. So when you put pages up on the web, they should not have an embedded space in them. So before you put them up, you just want to clean that up if you have embedded spaces in your names. I will never forgive Microsoft for allowing embedded spaces, okay? Because most people don't. Most sites don't. Okay, so has everybody seen how to put up a web page? Okay, so one of your assignments for this week is to send me the address of your page up on the web. Okay, your assignment this week was to do a page. Now for next week, you've got to upload that page, meaning drag it over to the website. So you have to upload the page, and then you need to send me the address so that when I click on your address, I can see your page. Okay, I want to be able to click on the address and see your page. So that's one of the assignments for this week, is to just send me the address. But in order to do that, you gotta upload everything to the web and figure out what the address is, okay? And then send that to me. Questions? Have we got everybody? Yeah.
So does the tilde start? Yeah, you have tilde in your username. Does that just directly send you to the publication folder?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So in fact, you don't use public HTML in your address because you have the tilde, and you also don't use home. Right. Home is talking about the server. So you don't put in home because that's the host basically. And then you don't put in public HTML because the tilde takes care of that. Okay, questions? Okay, then we are done with that.
From last week, it said from the HTML page to email to her. Is this a separate thing?
Yeah, this is just sending by the link for showing that you got it up on the server.
Okay, so I have to email her the page first to make sure, and then I would do it.
Yeah, because this week, on Thursday, your web page is due. You send that to her on the HTML file on the web.
Okay, the next thing we're going to start is we are going to go and look at databases. And this is a time when the book has a nice chapter, chapter one. And if you have the book, read chapter one. If you don't, I will tell you other things to read. But as I pointed out to you, if you go to Amazon.com and you click on the book that is the optional book for the course, they give you as a sample chapter one. So you're basically getting what I want you to get if you go and click on it. And I never said that. But you can get chapter one that way. Okay. So now what we're going to do is look at access. And if you are not getting it, you can type access at the question mark, the little search thing here. Or if you click on this, access is there in mine. So I can bring up access that way. So we're going to bring up access. Now, Access is a database by Microsoft that goes with Microsoft Office. And what a database does is lets you store data. Okay, and that's what the world is all about, is keeping track of data, manipulating data, whether you're working on payroll or inventory or games or whatever you're working on, there's got to be data kept. okay? And the data is can be kept in a database, and the database's access is one of the simpler databases. Okay, so what I want to do when I get in here is click on blank desktop database. So I'm clicking on blank desktop database. And when it comes up, you should see this screen. And this screen lets you choose a name for the database and where you want to keep the database. Okay? So I'm going to change the name and I'm going to call it Stu. And this is a 1230 class, so I'm going to call it Stu 12, and it's September 11th, so I'm calling it 11. So I've got Stu 1211. You can call it anything you want. That's just what I'm calling it. And then I can click on this to find out where I want to store it. I want to store it on my F drive, so I'm going to click on that. I am going to choose the F drive. And I am going to store it on the F drive. So I'm clicking OK. If you have a flash drive, I would suggest storing it on that. If you don't, I would store it on the N drive, which is your drive, and you have access to it. Okay? If you store it on the C drive, whenever the computer gets turned off, it's gone. So you should store it either on a flash drive or on your N drive. Okay, so now notice it gave it an ACCDB extension. ACCDB stands for Access Database. Okay, so ACC for Access, DB for Database. So I've got an Access Database. So now, once I have given it a name and picked the location for it to be stored at, I can click on Create. And it creates the database. Okay, so I click on Create and it's created the database. Now, this is not the way I want to work with it, the way that comes up by default. So I go over to the little arrow under View over at the far left and click on that little arrow, and it gives you a design view. And that's what I want to use. So I'm hitting Design View. And then I'm going to go save that picture that I just took, which has nothing to do with you, but I want to do it. Okay, so now it comes up and says, okay, table name. So a database is made up of tables, and tables are like files. They're a table. So if I have a payroll database, I might have a table of all of my employees, and then I might have another table that keeps track of the hours they worked. So I can have all of the data in my payroll database.
This is like Excel.
Pardon me?
It looked like Excel.
No. Excel is a spreadsheet, and this is a database. I think you'll see it change a little more as we go. But you're right, it has the kind of graphics. So now I'm making up a name for the table. And I'm going to call it Stu 12 for the 12:30 class. So I'm calling it Stu 12. Okay? And then when I save this and say okay, it saves it. So I said okay and it saved it. Now what you see is the field name and the data type. And that's what I want to use to create this table. Now on this table, I'm going to have five different fields. The first field is going to be my ID number. Okay, and I'm going to make this for students. That's why I called it Stu. My next field is going to contain a name. My next field is going to contain the major. The next field is going to contain the GPA. And the last field is going to contain the number of credits. So what I'm doing is I'm saying I'm going to have a table. And the table is going to be made up of records. One record for each student. And all of the records will follow that layout. That's the design of the records. Okay? The design of the table. So all the records in that table will have that layout. Okay, so I'm going to start out by making this table. And the first thing I'm going to do is make the field name, and I decided I wanted to call it ID number. So I'm going to call it IDNO. I don't want it to be an auto number. Auto number means it comes up with numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't want that. So I'm going to change that. And if I want to change it, I click in the field, and that arrow, down arrow, comes up, and I can change it. I'm going to make it short text, which means that if I wanted to have letters in my ID, I could, or I can just have all numbers. And one of the reasons I'm making it short text is that I make everything that I'm not going to be using in calculations usually short text. But that's just me. You could make this a number if you wanted to. So I'm making it short text. That means a text field, but short. And it gives a default size of 255 to it. Well, there's no way I want an ID of 255 characters. So I'm going to change that and make it, let's say, 4. So I'm now making the ID number a short text field of 4 characters. Okay, now notice over here, the ID number has that little key next to it. That key is the primary key. And what that means is that field has to be unique. Okay, just like your social security number is a unique number. Your student number is a unique number. Well, my student number is going to be unique too. But putting the key there means that this field has to be unique when I put the data in. I can't make two students have an ID of 1111. Only one of them can have that ID, okay? So the primary key uniquely defines a record, okay? Now I'm gonna go to my next field, and I'm gonna call it NAME. And I tab over to the next thing, and it gives me an error message. And what it says is the name you supplied is a reserved word. So Access has certain words that it wants to use for its own purposes, and it doesn't want you using them. Mm. So I can't use the name. I can't use name. So I'm going to cancel this. And I'm going to change it to NAMZ, which for some reason I started doing when name started being a problem. You can just call it NAM if you want to. You can call it anything you want to. Okay, but I'm just calling it NAMZ. And I'm going to make that a short text field as well. And 255 seems a little big, so I'm going to make it 50 characters. Okay, so that's my second field. Then my third field is major. And I didn't really want a capital there, major. And this one is going to also be short text, and it's only going to be 2 characters. Because my major is going to be something like CIBU, so it's going to be 2 characters. So I've got a 2-character major. Then I move over to GPA. GPA is a number. So I'm going to pick number over here. And then it defaults to long integer. That means a big integer. I don't want it to be a long integer. I want it to have decimal places. The easy way to make decimal places is to change this to what is called single. Single is like decimal. Decimal is more scientific. And we ran into problems with decimal in the last class. But single works well. Okay, so I'm making a number, and I'm saying it is single. Okay, so down here, under field size, I'm putting single. Okay, and then I am making the last field is number credits. Well, I decided to make the C in credits a capital, because I am putting there two words, N-O, credits, and it makes it stand out that they're two words a little bit more if I put the C in as a capital. It then kind of tells where the word break is, and I can't have spaces in field names, okay? I can't have spaces, or I shouldn't have spaces in field names. Actually, you can, but you shouldn't. It causes complications later on if you have them. So I'm saying you can't have spaces. Basically, I'm saying when you name something for the computer to use, like a field, forget spaces. Just give it a name, okay? You can also use special characters like underscore between. I could say NO underscore credits, okay? I don't do that for ease of typing. Basically, I got bored before we got to special characters when I was teaching myself to type. And so I had to look at special characters, so I decided I don't want to use them. But if you didn't get bored before you got to special characters, you can use things like an underscore. That didn't come on all day last time we were here. Okay, so this is going to be a number, and for this one, I'm going to make it just a regular integer. A long integer is far more than what I need. And I don't remember the breakdown of where the number is there. But I'm making it a number, and I'm making it just a plain integer. So now I have laid out the structure of my table. And I have basically said, every single record that I put on the table is going to have that structure, okay? So the structure will be the same for every record on the table. So now I'm going to save it. And to save it, I click on the X over at the far right. It's along the line right above where I am describing it. On the same line as the name that says Stu12 and the little tab. So I am going to save it. And it comes back and says, do you want to save changes to the design? And I'm saying yes. So I've saved the table now as Stu12. I can bring up this table by clicking on it. Right click, open, opens it. And then I can toggle back and forth. The image, the icon right under the file lets me toggle back and forth between the structure and where I'm going to enter data. So if I click on the picture of the kind of graphic picture, this is where I can now start entering my data. So I'm now going to start entering the data that I want in this table. Can I get rid of this? I gotta find a better way to erase.
This is the board.
Huh?
You write it down.
What? Which what?
No, you wrote it with marker.
Yeah, with the marker.
Right. But I still should be able to erase it from here.
Yeah.
And it'll toggle back and forth.
There, now I got it. I got to delete that part.
It's probably easier to come over here and do this. But I should be able to. And it's not easier. And now you know why I want to do it on the machine. Okay, I finally got it erased.
Okay, so now I can start emptying the data. So I'm going to put in 1111, and then I'm going to tab over and do Susan Ash, and her major is CI, and her GPA is 3.45. And her number of credits is 34, we'll say. Okay, so I am giving her all of the information, yeah. Toggle back and forth using this little icon right here. So toggle and it should come up.
Yeah, so I couldn't hear because of that.
No, me either. I couldn't hear you asking a question. Hopefully it usually only goes for a few minutes and then goes away. But we will see. So for now, take a few minutes and put in a few records. And make it have different majors, different GPA, different number of credits. So I'm going to put in 1-2, John Costa, another CI major. He's got a plain 3 and he's got 45 credits. And then I'm going to put in, and she's going to be a BU major with a 2.5. and 16 credits, 26 I guess. And just put in maybe 6 or 7 records or something like that by just adding data. And your records don't have to be the same as mine. They can be any records you want. Okay, I've got about 7 records. You put in some to make sure you get a few. Notice I've got a little mixture in the major, a little mixture in the GPA, and a little mixture in the number of credits. Thank you. as you're putting it in. Character data is pushed over against the left wall. Numeric data is pushed over against the right wall. So by just looking at the data, I can tell which fields were defined as character, which is short text as character, and which fields were defined as numbers. Okay, has everybody got a few things in? So now I'm going to close it with the X here, and I've closed the table. If I want to get the table back, I just right-click on it and open it if I want to see the data, or design view if I want to see the design. And if I want to, right beneath file, there is an icon that I can toggle back and forth between design and data. Okay? So now what I want to do is I want to create a query that is going to query the data and ask questions. Okay? So to do that, and I'm going to close this down. To do that, I say create query design. So I click on the create, and then I click on query design right there to get the design of the query. Okay. So I'm clicking on query design, and this is what comes up. Okay. So here is a listing of the tables. Well, I only have one table, so there's only one thing listed. So I want to add that table to my query. My query is underneath it. So I click on add, and it adds it. And then I click on close. So I've now added the table to my query. The information for the query is down below there. And I've now added my table to my query. Okay? So I can now bring down the data that I want to use in my query. And I can either drag it down, or I can double click on it and try it multiple times, and eventually it may come down. It is really supposed to do that, but obviously it decided no. I can click on the little arrow next to the field and select name. I can try again, double clicking to get major down, and that time it worked. So I got major down. I tend to drag them down more than anything else. I don't have to bring them all down. I can bring them all down in any order. So I'm going to bring number credits next and GPA last. So I'm bringing them all down, but I didn't have to. I could have just brought the ones I wanted to see. And I can bring them down in any order that I want to bring them down. So now I have the data here. This is what I want the query to look like. And so if I then run the query by doing a view, or run will do it, if I click on view, it shows me the records. And it's showing me according to the query, so number of credits is coming before GPA. On the file, GPA was before number of credits. But here I said I wanted it like this. And so it is showing me the data. And then if I go back, I go back to the query. Okay, so now I want to have a query that is going to meet certain criteria. So I can go over here to major, for example, and put in quote CI close quote. Okay? Which says that I want to have major equal to CI. Now notice this CI is on the criteria line. So that's the criteria for my query. I want the major to be CI. So if I have 100,000 records out there and I only want to see CI majors, I put that in and it will only show the CI majors. Okay, so now if I go to view or run and click, I'm only seeing the CI majors. I'm not seeing any other majors. So putting something on the criteria line tells me that I want to cut back and I only want to see a certain number of records. Now I want to save this query, so I'm going to, and here's the query, I want to save it. So I click the X, it comes back and says, do you want to save changes? And I'm going to say yes. And then I'm going to give it a name and I'm going to call it CI Major. Okay, because I want to see CI Majors. So I'm going to call it CI Major. And I'm going to click OK. And it has now saved it over here under queries. CI Major. So if I want to create another query, I go in and say create, query design, add, close, and this time I'm bringing down and just GPA this time, not number of credits, we'll say. And I want to test the GPA for everybody greater than 3. I want to see everybody whose criteria, this is on the criteria line, whose criteria is that the GPA is greater than 3. Okay? So I'm now saying I want to see GPA greater than 3. And if I go and view the results of that, okay, I've got all of the people that have a GPA greater than 3. Okay. So I have now limited it to GPA greater than 3. And if I save this one, you want to save the changes? Yes. What do you want to call it? I want to call it GPA GR3 for GPA greater than 3. Now notice when I did this, the use of quotes. When I was testing CI, I put it in quotes, and that's because it was a character field. When I'm testing against a number, I don't put it in quotes. Now, one of the reasons for that is the CI is all character. It could have been confused with the name of a field or something else. Numbers, names of fields have to have at least one letter in them. So numbers can't be confused with anything else. So that makes it greater than 3. So try a query now. Go in and make a query and test for something. Yeah. So did everybody get a query working that was greater than three? Again, what you're doing is you're entering something on the intersection between the word criteria and the field you want to test. And so you're putting something in the intersection between those two. Okay? So on the criteria line under GPA. Okay, I've gotten as far as I want to today, and there seem to be quite a few people with questions, so we're going to call it quits. And those with questions, hang around for a few minutes, and we'll try to get to everybody straightened out. But if you're comfortable with this, we're done.